Can everybody hear me? Okay. Yeah. My name is Kurt Dureshan. I'm one part of the Otolith group. This is Angelika Sager, the other part of the Otolith group. Like everybody so far today, we were proud to be allies and friends of Haroon, and we are proud to be part of this event today. And we'd like to thank the people who've been thanked before, but there's no reason not to thank them once more. That would be Antia, that would be all the staff and the people here at HaKeve, especially Annika Kuhlman and Marlene Schenk for putting up with us for endless emails, and everybody who's been part of today so far. It means a lot to us to be here today. So we're going to begin. Our presentation is called A Hunter Shooting Water Birds. As Mikhail Bauta pointed out, this is one particular detail from one moment within Haroon Froki's The Silver and the Cross.
What persists?
What returns?
Unbidden.
And out of sequence.
Are the disassembled memories of the ways in which Froki renewed his commitments.
The ways in which his preoccupations branched into new directions that appeared eminently reasonable when you asked him,
Haroon, what are you working on now?
Only gradually,
incidentally,
incrementally,
a new Froki project would reveal its ramifications.
Only later would the aspiration of each new Froki work
and the ambition of the cycle of new works begin to make itself apparent.
Could it be that Haroon Froki deliberately underdescribed each new project?
Played down each new project.
Deflated its significance during the unguaranteed overlapping processes of research, of shooting, of writing, of editing.
So that each new work was protected by a field of under expectation.
It was as if Froki created a mental climate of under explication around each new work.
Because each new work could always be the occasion for the work of discursive elaboration that was shared by
writers,
critics,
students,
artists.
And this practice of artistic diminution was a miniaturist version of the way in which Froki protected you,
the visitor,
the guest,
from his reputation.
Froki shielded you from his reputation
while simultaneously sharing with you the historical elements that you asked him to bring with him into the present.
As a result, Froki was always contemporary.
There you were, stranded in the present with him.
Seated around the table, in the kitchen, in Fahrstrasse.
Until someone else,
a curator, usually,
reminded you that you were in the presence of Froki.
Someone,
perhaps yourself,
had re-established the spell of deference that Froki had kept at bay.
The forces of adulation would re-emerge.
And you would remember that.
Yes.
This is Froki you had been chatting to.
About your compulsions.
Your enthusiasms.
Faroki's curiosity in what you had to say.
In what you were doing.
Sure, this was surely an example of his continuous need to encounter new forms of unknowing.
In an interview in 2008, Froki stated that,
I tell myself that we don't know anything about the real world.
We should hold salons where it would be possible to meet chemists and physicists, but that doesn't seem to have happened.
Fortunately, thanks to my documentaries, I am led to explore certain areas which allow me to learn a bit more about computers, the war industry, designers of commercial galleries.
This is part of the societal reality.
I often go on research trips with large companies.
I visit more companies than museums.
I visit more companies than museums.
Could you approach a company as if it was a museum of the contemporary?
To answer this question, we should revisit Ein Neues Produkt, Froki's film from 2012.
Throughout 2012, Froki, his cameraman Ingo Kratisch, and Matthias Reimann, his sound recordist and researcher, filmed and recorded the management consultancy Quickborner team, or QT.
as they meet with clients such as Vodafone Hamburg, and as they
hold internal meetings in the Hafner City business complex in Hamburg.
Faroki worked on Ein Neues Produkt
during the same time as facilitating
the cycle of works that would become labor in a single shot.
How does Faroki film and edit the work of management?
Over the course of 1 year in one city.
Even as he and Antje Amon
set up workshops to film work in a single shot in city after city.
What methods does he use to film?
The practices of enjoining employees to consent,
to comply,
to conform,
to their own self-optimization.
To begin with, nobody in a new product is named.
Each individual is denominated
or ex-nominated.
There are no establishing scenes.
There are intertitles that introduce people by their role as an employee within a firm,
without naming them
and without explaining what they do.
A new product is not dated, except once when one character refers to 2012 as a forthcoming date.
There are no exterior shots,
except for one photograph that depicts the exterior of the Hafen City business complex in Hamburg.
Hamburg, like London,
like Rotterdam,
like Barcelona,
like Buenos Aires,
in which a harbour becomes a location for corporate redevelopment,
for the flagship of Hafen City,
like the Docklands development in London,
built on the site of Hamburg's special economic zone as was.
This is where, in 1983, Jean-Marie Straub and Daniel Hillet filmed Class Relations.
Hamburg's Freeport area, which seemed a good location for some of the locations of the Imagine America in their film of Kafka's unfinished novella, America.
In which Faroki had rehearsed the role of the malevolent de la Marche on the 1st and the 3rd of March, 1983.
And acted for one day of shooting on the 23rd of August, 1983.
And where Faroki had filmed Straub and Willet as they filmed Class Relations in his own film.
A film entitled Jean-Marie Straub and Daniel Hillet at Work on a film based on Franz Kafka's America.
But where the young Carl Rossmann leaves for America in search of work.
Here, Faroki, 28 years later, returns to the harbour of Hamburg and embarks upon a voyage into the interior of the office world.
If cinema avoids the interior of the factory,
then Faroki enters into the working space of the office over and over again.
In Nothing Ventured,
in Indoctrination,
in How to Live in the FRG,
in Retraining,
in The Leading Role,
in The Appearance,
in The Interview,
in How to Live in the FRG,
in The Creators of Shopping Worlds.
Faroki is always interested in teaching and in learning,
in what Anselm calls the theatre of training and rehearsing through which capitalism mobilises life,
in exposing people as they teach and as they learn.
What do we see within this office space,
which is routinely dismissed as banal,
as bland,
as enervated?
How does Faroki encounter work at its most banal?
When it is bland.
When it is beige.
When it is grey.
When it consists not of factory floor, but of plastic partition.
And flip charts.
And photographs of your child.
And the sound of thick marker pens. Okay, can you please lower the lights and please play the clip from A New Product? Thank you.
Ich finde, man sieht hier nochmal ganz deutlich die Philosophie. Wir haben gestern ja mit der Geschäftsführung darüber auch diskutiert, wo man sagen kann, wie sieht denn so ein Arbeitsalltag aus von einem Mitarbeiter, der ins Büro kommt und sagt, ich bin eben am Vormittag hier an dem Arbeitsplatz, was meine einige Organisationseinheit ist. Und wenn ich dann Spaß habe, sage ich, muss mich zurückziehen oder ich habe ein Meeting, dass ich dann sagen kann, ich gehe in diesen Meeting Point oder Meetingraum. Der Arbeitsplatz kann von jemand anders genutzt werden, weil ich einen halben Tag hier arbeite. Oder dass jemand sagt, ich habe eine Besprechung, die mache ich am Meeting Point mit drei Leuten, eine ganz elegante Form und ziehe mich dann zurück an so einem Arbeitsplatz hier, akustisch abgeschirmt für eine Stunde und muss aber keinen traditionellen Arbeitsplatz mehr belegen. Das ist ja eine der, der Ideen, die da zugrunde geht. Und wenn man sich das gesamte Campus anguckt, dann ist es ja so wirklich die Frage, diese ganze, weiß ich, wie viele 1000 Quadratmeter sind das?
80.000 Quadratmeter.
80.000 Quadratmeter plus Freifläche ist im Prinzip die Arbeitswelt eines Mitarbeiters von Vodafone und da, wo er wohnt oder wo er sonst seinen Kaffee trinkt, theoretisch auch.
Genau, und trotzdem, denke ich, müssen wir irgendwo schauen, bei aller Standardisierung, die wir hier reinbringen, dass wir, und das ist immer wieder ein Thema, das wir auch von den Mitarbeitern bekommen, die Möglichkeit schaffen, dass jeder sich dort, wo er sich tatsächlich auch aufhält, ein Stück weit Heimat für sich wiederfinden kann und dass diese standardisierten, nicht fest zugeordneten Arbeitsplätze eben keinen Grad an Privatheit mehr erlauben, an Adaption, Bilder der Familie, was man halt sonst am Schreibtisch typischerweise stehen hat.
Ich habe unterschiedliche Arbeitssituationen, genau. Und das geht dann eben zulasten eines hohen Individualisierungsgrades und zugunsten einer Standardisierung. Und dann muss man sagen, mal, Individualität muss irgendwie anders stattfinden, als dass ich sage, ich habe hier meine eigenen Blumen und meine eigene Artenvielfalt in irgendwelchen Postkarten und Überraschungseiern inhalten, sondern das muss man eben in der heutigen Arbeitswelt anders hingehen.
Also die Angst, mobil sein zu müssen, ist, glaube ich, stärker als die Freude und wirklich dieses Privileg, mobil arbeiten zu können.
Wir müssen Sorge tragen, dass das nicht überwuchert mit irgendwelchen Risiken der Allerreichbarkeit. Aber das ist am wenigsten Raumplanung. Das ist am meisten.
Mindset.
So ist es.
Mindset.
Genau.
Wir müssen weg von dem traditionellen Modell, mein Arbeit.
What is striking in a new product is that even though it's filmed over a year,
it is difficult to indicate precisely what time of morning or afternoon its meetings take place.
The overhead lighting in the Q team has cancelled,
or rather has suspended the differences between
morning
and afternoon.
What we see is an eternal daylight,
a continuous office time,
in which the sun never sets.
An abstract sun.
In a shadowless world. A new product looks like it does because Faroki uses the overhead lighting of the QT office.
He does not introduce extra lighting to take away shadows or to add contrast.
Instead, he avails himself of the available lighting as it actually exists inside the office landscape of the QT team.
As it exists within the bureau landschaft.
Without attempting to alter it.
In an image filmed in 1983, the same year as his film on the making of class relations,
Faroki studied the painstaking work carried out by a male photographer and two female assistants as they produce images of a new model for a magazine.
Here, Faroki parasitizes the superior lighting of the magazine shoot for the purposes of his own low-budget film shoot.
In the text, Written Trailers from 2009, Faroki explained that the film, an image like the film Makeup from 1973 and Single, a record is being produced from 1979, all concerned the
documenting of cultural industrial production processes, both at a distance and right down to the last detail with my camera.
Faroki stresses the economic advantages of this artistic opportunism.
We were keen, he says, to profit from the glamour of the studios in which we were filming, in many cases from their expensive lighting.
But this admission implies another reading that Faroki does not elucidate, but which he hides in plain sight.
Instead of imposing itself upon the world that it depicts,
a new product adjusts itself to and adapts itself to the same artificial life world that it studies.
It adopts itself and adapts itself to the conditions of the corporate office space.
It submits itself. It submits itself to the shadowless sun of the office world.
It allows itself to be made over by the force of what it studies.
It becomes an example of what it studies.
A new product is an ethnography of a closed world,
in which working groups encapsulate themselves.
In this sense, a new product continues Faroki's ethnography of corporate habituses, of corporate umwelts that reach a certain insulated and isolated intensity in 2004 with nothing ventured.
In an interview with Cineast magazine in 2008, Christian Petzold describes Nothing Ventured as follows.
To start with, there was Haroon Frokhi's Nothing Ventured in 2004.
For 3 days, he filmed a venture capital negotiation like an ethnographer.
Haroon's premise was the insight that we do not even have any new images of capitalism yet.
Sure, we have these airport boarding zones where we see modern people with laptops, reading high-gloss magazines, wearing Rolexes and Burberry clothes.
But all of this is only a surface. We do not have images for how this new form of capitalism operates.
We have books about it, but we do not find those images in films.
In cinema, capitalism is still being imaged as Charlie Chaplin in modern times.
Because Haroon approached his task ethnographically, rather than assuming an a priori denunciatory perspective, the film managed for the first time to render visible the flexible, modern people who are involved in these operations.
And this is why the office scenes in Christian Petzold's Yella from 2007, which are filmed in the leftover location of the World Expo 2000 in Hanover, adopt sequences, a central sequence from Nothing Ventured, and adapt them to nothing less than a new form of corporate gothic horror.
As Dietrich Dietrichson argues, the process of abstracting in films, like a new product, can be understood as a practice of decontextualizing and de-worlding.
One must, Dietrichson writes, abstract its world from all parameters that would explain them differently.
Farocchi removes an external measure or an outside parameter that would immediately expose the management consultants to ridicule by comparison.
As a spectator thrown upon the shores of the office archipelago,
you expect to see encounters between QT team and their clients, such as Vodafone Hamburg.
In the first scene, you do see such an encounter.
QT unveils a model to the clients at Vodafone Hamburg.
They reveal their new spatial concept of flexible office space.
Or hot desking.
Immediately, a tension arises.
One employee immediately summarizes it succinctly by saying,
I believe the fear of having to be flexible outweighs any pleasure of having the privilege of flexibility at work.
The space plan becomes a question of a mindset.
Of adjusting subjectivities.
Adapting to the new corporate future of the Raum plan.
There is an oscillation between flexibility and standardization.
The teams are using different words for the same thing.
Which is confusing because Farocchi does not give us
the establishing shot that explains
that we, that is QT, provide the standards
against which you, that is Vodafone, can be flexible.
We provide the ground for you to be the figure.
But Farocchi creates figures without a ground.
You, the spectator, are marooned in a spatiotemporal envelope with the office teams of QT and the venture capitalists of Nothing Ventured.
You are watching how each employee is learning to live up to their own principles.
You constantly watch them teaching and being taught by each other.
You are constantly looking at each behavior as learnt behavior.
As a corporate Lehrstücke that attempts to assemble itself.
And this is what makes the film humorous.
But this decontextualization or abstraction is not introduced by Farocchi.
It is not a laboratory situation. Instead, it is entirely operative and normative inside the everyday life of office spaces.
And it is only by inventing a method of decontextualization that you can see the virtuosity of the banality of the gestures of thought.
A world in which performance is production.
In which the non-light of the office offers a benediction upon all it illuminates.
It shelters its inhabitants with a light that is both pitiless and benign.
Thank you.